services, and what a joy it is to be here. And we have our pastor is still on vacation here, and we are missing them, but we are also rejoicing in the fact that they have this opportunity to get away and get some rest and have a time together as a family. So we're praying for them. Ask that you would continue to do that. And I think what we're going to do here right off the bat is, hopefully we got everybody in here, most everybody here. We do want to take a brief moment and thank all the veterans and for their service. And so we're going to ask that if you have been or are currently serving in the military, if you would just kindly stand real quick so that we can give you just a moment of honor. All the vets, if you would stand. Okay. All the vets stand. And Brother Hutchinson's going to say a quick word here.
Thank you, men, for serving in our country. We have Tom, who's over in the fellowship hall. We have a very special country. And I just want to take this line time to say from Dr. Wilbur Welch, who used to pastor Calvary Baptist here in Muskegon, he reminds us that in 1837 in America, the McGuffey readers were used in America for 100 years. 100 years, a school book that was based on the Bible was the backbone that made America great. I don't know how many of you men have one of these. This is a Bible printed by the United States government. How many of you men that were our vets have a Bible that was printed by the government? What year was yours printed? Do you know? Jake, do you remember what year yours was printed?
I want to say mine was actually from Ohio when I joined 2005.
What year was that?
2005.
2005. I'd like to know if our government has ceased printing Bibles. And mine has 1957. America has been an unusual country. How many know what Ronald Reagan did with the Bible in 1983? What did he do, brother?
Did he authorize
the printing? That's not what I'm thinking of.
The year of the Bible.
The year of the Bible. We got an answer up here. All right. Yes, Tom. And I have a copy of that goes back in the 1700s, and they didn't print them, but they authorized their printing. I have the Old Testament in that. And so this is the 1983 medal piece, the Year of the Bible, Ronald Reagan, and it has the stamp of the United States, the seal of the United States of America. We have had a privilege of serving in a military that's brought a lot of hope to the rest of the world. Thank you, men. Thank you very much.
We do thank all the veterans and realize Memorial Day is to honor those that have served and lost their lives, but there is never a bad time to honor everyone that has been part of the military service. And I'm not going to make everybody stand again, but maybe you didn't serve actively, but just raise your hand if you are part of a family that has a vet, that was part of a vet, just how many have someone in their family. Oftentimes, I think we forget to say thank you to those families that sacrifice. And so that is a great sacrifice and the ultimate sacrifice of giving their lives, those that have given their lives. We thank them so much for the freedom that we have in America today. And the country that we live in is still the greatest country in the world. And we praise God for that. God has allowed that. And we continue to pray that God would continue to use this great nation. So would you join us in celebrating here with some great songs to prepare our hearts for today's message. And Bill's going to come and lead us. If you'd stand, Bill, would you come lead us in music?
Sure. Number 309, Our Great Savior. 309.
Friends made.
wonderful singing. 322, Stand Up for Jesus.
Thank you, Bill. Let's go to the Lord in prayer here, and then we'll get ready to take up the offering here, fellas. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we do thank you for the country that we live in. We thank you for the freedoms that we have, Lord, the freedom to be able to come and Lord, to worship you and to gather together, Lord, to hear from your word, Lord. We thank you for how, Lord, you're able to move freely among us, and Lord, help us, Lord, just to be that testimony, Lord, as we do have that freedom, Lord, help us to share that truth, Lord, just with each and everyone that is in need. Lord, we thank you for our pastor and his family. Lord, we do pray as they are away at this time, Lord, that you would be with them, and Lord, we just pray for your Holy Spirit power on today's services, Lord, that you would speak to hearts. Lord, that you would work in lives, Lord, that we would be, Lord, just surrendering our will to your will, Lord, that we would just be yoked up, and Lord, as we go through our day-to-day lives, Lord, that you would be just glorified in each and everything. Lord, be with us this day, we pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated here, and we're going to get ready to take up the offering here in just a minute here. But first, we're going to have Jake Snyder is going to come and give us the announcements here. Jake?
All right. Good morning. It's beautiful outside. It's been a great weekend so far. We got a lot going on coming up. We have a regular schedule there listed on the left side of your bulletin with our Bible reading schedule there at the bottom. Please try to stick with it. It's been very encouraging. I know the weather is turning up. People are getting busy outdoors. Make sure you take some time. Carve out a little time to keep up with your Bible reading. Birthdays and anniversary. Lily was on the 24th, Lily Snyder. Dina Bolt is tomorrow. Greg Medell is tomorrow as well. Stephen Mansfield is Friday, May 30th. Anniversaries, Daryl, Teresa, and Pastor and his wife are both going to be on Friday, May 30th, their anniversaries. And Florinda is on Saturday, May 31st. Upcoming events. If you look from there, it takes up about a third, two-thirds of a page there. We've got a lot going on. June's going to be a busy month. It's going to start out, Christian Medell's graduation here at the church is on June 7th. Then the following Saturday is going to be Wesley and Millie's graduation. Make sure you try to find some time to come here and congratulate them. Sarah Langreem is going to be graduating on the 28th. And then we have the Vacation Bible School mixed in there as well from the 23rd to the 26th. Vacation Bible School, it takes a lot of work and dedication from a lot of members here at the church. If you've not found something that you can help with, please try to find something to sign up for to help bear some of that. It's wonderful to see all the kids here, but just the sheer number of children that come to the church takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of effort from those here. So please try to help out with that. And then the Youth Congress at Powell, Tennessee, July 9th through 12th, is coming up as well. Please pray for the teens that are going to be going to that. The Missionaries of the Week, there at the bottom, Dr. and Mrs. P.D. Charon, South India Baptist Bible College. They train Asians in that area to minister to them as well, to minister to the other Asians there. So please pray for them, and their contact is at the bottom. On the back of your bulletin, for Memorial Day, there's some large numbers of people that have been killed in combat. I added all these up. No, I didn't do it with a calculator or my smartphone this morning, so I may be a number off, but if I am, the number is still pretty large. 1,247,916 people have lost their lives in these battles so that we can sit here in this church today and enjoy the freedoms that we have to fellowship with other Christians. So make sure you find a way to commemorate them. Tomorrow especially, there's going to be a lot of parades and stuff going on. Take a moment to remember those. All right, and that's our announcements.
Thank you, Jake. And as fellas, if you want to come forward and get ready for the offering, we do want to encourage you to be in prayer for all these things. The young people graduating, so exciting and sad for the parents, I believe. And we're excited to see what the Lord is doing with these young people. And so please keep them in prayer. The Vacation Bible School, the theme is Arrow Island. And so be keeping that in mind as we think about these things. Choosing God's way, what a blessing that is going to be. And so we're encouraging these young lives. Invite someone out. Be inviting people out, encouraging them to come. Pastor had talked about the adults that come to our Vacation Bible School. They have a good time. They have a lot of fun. So invite people out, say, hey, come on out, watch your kids, and boy, they'll get some truth in their lives. So we'll continue on here, and Brother Luke, if you want to come forward and pray for the offering.
Pray with me, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank you very, very much for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. We've come to have our hearts blessed. We've come to worship you. We've come to serve, and Lord, we want to do just that this morning. Thank you for each one that took the time to come this morning. Pray that their hearts would be blessed. Thank you for those visitors that are with us. We pray that their hearts would be blessed as they visit with us here this morning. And Father, there's many of our people that are away. We pray that they would be attending church and else places, wherever they may be, that they'd be able to fellowship in God's word with other Christians in different parts of the country today. We ask, Father, that you'd be with Brother Hutchinson as he'd be bringing God's word. We pray that you would protect him, that he would have the freedom to share the things you've laid upon his heart for us, that our hearts would be receptive. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless now as we get ready to take up of your tithes and our offerings, that you might be pleased with both the gift and the giver. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Mrs. Sackett. That was wonderful. If that doesn't get your heart softened, I don't know what is. Maybe the next special music will, as we have the Langrebe Young Group coming. We'll call them. I don't want to call them kids because they're not kids. So if you'd come forth.
Joy and peace and wonderful light. Sing his praise above some beautiful day,
some beautiful day.
For glory to him who died for me, I'm going that way. I'm going that way.
I'm going that way. I'm going that way. I'm going that way.
And Jesus the Savior I adore is with me each day.
When trials are past,
I know I shall meet him face to face in glory at last. And oh, I believe that when we meet, well done he will say, for trusting his soul.
Thank you, guys. That was wonderful. I hope you're going that way. And what a blessing it is to give. It's a great honor to introduce the speaker we have today. I believe if you want to turn in your Bibles and get ready, be going to Revelation chapter 1, starting there. And what I enjoy about this is that there's no doubt in my mind that he's prepared, he's looked, he's gone through the Word of God, he's prayed up, and so we pray that you are too, and we're going to turn it over to Brother Hutchison as he brings forth the message for us this morning. Brother Hutchison.
This might be a good time to add in my military career a prayer that I did not pray that God answered. The government, the United States government, the Army, worked along with my Heavenly Father. Would you like to hear about that? Yeah. God does answer prayer for men in the service. And my wife and I, Mary and I, had been on a 3-day pass to Atlanta, and we sort of liked it up there. We found a church we liked. We kind of like the Christian radio station up there. And they had Youth for Christ on. In those days, they had Youth for Christ. How many remember Youth for Christ? Yeah, they had Youth for Christ. And so we went back to Columbus, Georgia. And we were reviewing the weekend. And I said to Mary, we have no... What grounds do I have to ask the Lord to send us to Atlanta? But God hears everything we say, so we didn't even pray for that. But we know that God heard our prayer in our humble little mobile home. I came home the next day for lunch, and I said, guess what, Mary? We are going to Atlanta for 3 months. That's how quick God answered prayer that we didn't even pray. I think maybe that done something for me in my young life and in Mary's life too. You need some moments like that when God does some unusual things. And not only did the government send us up there, but the government said, you know, it's a hardship tour. You'll need a little extra money. And I said, I wonder what that'll be. And we had over a 3 month time, we had a little over $1,000 extra just, and we didn't go to, was McDonald's in existence? Yeah, McDonald's was around, but not, I don't think, down there. But we didn't do that kind of stuff. We schooled against that. But anyway, we had some answers to prayer while in the military, and I thank God for it. I want to tell you how much this morning I do not know. I found a verse that just come out of the Word of God, and I thought, look at that verse there. And I think when I read it to you, you might be in the same condition I'm in. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 5. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 5. Now, you're looking for Ecclesiastes, if you can find Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Here's what it says. As thou knowest not. You mean there's something I don't know? Well, there's more than one thing I don't know and you don't know. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit. And I don't know which way the Spirit goes and comes. I've seen people sit in church and weep, and I thought God was talking to them, but they were going through their billfold, their pocketbook, and discovered one of their untrusted friends had gotten in there and stolen some money, and they're weeping about somebody took some. They're not even listening to the message. I can't tell if you listen to me this morning or not. I just don't know that. Isn't that something? As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb. Do I know that? I can't figure that one out. How can God cause a little baby to be conceived from almost nothing to something? In the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. And so we're going to look at the book of Revelation just briefly this morning. That's the work of God. I'm going to try to stay in touch with just a little bit of it, because it's a great, great book. Last week, we looked at Israel, the Jewish people, and the blessings and the cursings, and we discovered that if God doesn't get to bless you, you're going to have trouble, because you'll have to take the consequences of sin, which is his cursing. God doesn't fool around. He wants to bless everybody, But if you don't let him bless you, you've got to take the consequences of sin, and it's so bitter. I didn't give you this verse, but I meant to last week. Exodus 34:10. When we think of Israel and we think of the Holy Land, that little teeny geographical land that's surrounded by Islam, most of that land that Islam possesses today was once controlled by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Exodus 34:10. And God said, "Behold, I'm going to make a covenant, another covenant. Before all thy people, I will do marvels." God loves to do good things. He loves to do special things. He loves to do his work. His work is so great. "Such as have not been done in all of the earth." I'm just trying to remind you, don't forget last week's message. And so there's a little place geographically on earth that's so different, while it's dirt and mountains and everything else like the rest of the earth, it is unusually different because it has the unseen hand of God on it. So I'm gonna do things in Israel that have not been done in all of the earth, nor in any nation. And all of the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. God is able to do some of the greatest things, and the greatest things come out of that little land of Israel where our Savior went and died for us and rose from the grave. Hallelujah, someone said. Was that you, Walter? Oh, is Walter still here? Yeah, he's still there. Okay, I don't want him to sneak out on me. All right, Revelation chapter 1. Last week I gave you a verse, said we ought to come prepared. One of the things we can come to prepared to the church with is a revelation. This is a book of Revelation. I'm going to just think on the first 10 chapters. The first 10 chapters of the book of Revelation, I'm going to say something you may not have heard, but it may be possible, and I'll give you a verse on that. There's a verse that may tell us that the first course that God wants us to know about the book of Revelation will end about halfway through the book. God's going to take us through the book of Revelation, and he's going to focus primarily on the greatness of the preeminence of his Son. We like to read the book of Revelation to know about this event, that event, and we get off over there and off over there, and we may lose the focus that this book is only for one type of people, and that's Christian people. This book is for us. There's been no changes in this book of Revelation in almost 2,000 years. Nothing has to be changed. Just have to watch God and watch history, and it works. That's God's work. He makes his word work. I feel so sorry for the people who have no idea how great this book is. So this is verse 1 says it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. We don't want to forget that. We don't want to lose sight of that. And I think God has a very specific purpose in the chapters that we're going to look at here. The first 10 chapters real quickly, that we do not lose the focus of Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth." This is a very special book, but it's not unlike so much of the rest of God's Word. This is a book that is filled with prophecy. All of God's Word is filled with prophecy. God tells us what's coming. He wants us to know that our God knows. That's why he tells us. We're a very distinct and different people when we know what's coming. There's a little book in the Old Testament. I wonder if I can find it. It's called Amos. There it is right there. Do you know this verse from Amos? If you don't know it, you ought to have it marked. It ought to be on one of your lists of verses. Amos 3:7. What does it say? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophet. You like that verse? Where did I say it was found? Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Amos 3:7. God speaks about his great works, what he's going to do. The Lord God will do nothing. God loves to tell us that he told us. You know how you tell the kids? I told you. And they didn't catch it. You tell them again. They still didn't catch it. And you're trying to figure out, how can I make them catch it? All right. The Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. I like this book, the Bible. I like it because it tells me about tomorrow. And so this is a book with blessings. It is blessing, and if you'll read it, you'll be blessed, and you'll get your life in step with the Word of God. Remember the two lines we had running down the tape lines we had running down the aisle here last Sunday night? That's because one of them is the Word of God, and the other one just strays a little bit. We stray just a little bit. We think it's just a little bit. It's further than we think when we do not walk with the Lord. It's not as close as we like to say it is to what God wants us to do. What was that book I read from last week where someone said when we finally do pray and we discover the plague of our heart? God is very heart smart. He knows the stuff we got in our heart doesn't go too far. Gets us in trouble. What was that verse that said about the plague of the heart? All right, I know you're thinking, what was it, Old Testament or New? What was it? I can hear some mumble, but I forgot my hearing aid. It was 1 Kings chapter 8 and about verse 38, where God says, if you ever decide you want to pray, and then you discover the plague that's in your heart. That's the sin stuff that's in our heart that we live with and think it's not too important. God will hear. Well, okay, so we're in the book of Revelation, right? So in chapter 1, there's 175 verses in the first 10 chapters. That averages out to be about 7.5 verses per chapter. They're short church chapters. You can read a short chapter. In addition to reading for our Bible schedule, you've got time to cut something out and just read the book of Revelation. This has to do with our future. We want to know what's in our future. Don't try to solve all the mysteries. Just try to keep your eye on Jesus in this book. So this book is going to be addressed to just the church, us, just to us. This is our book. And in the first, in chapters 2 and 3, over 20 times, Jesus is going to say, I will, and I will, and I will, and I will do that, and I will do that. This is a book of his will. You want to know what he's up to? You read this book. This is his book. He wants us to know what he's going to do. And so in chapter 1, there's a possibility. It's possible. Yes, it is possible. In the first chapter, verse 6, Jesus Christ is in the business of making us who are saved by grace and to give us a wonderful position with him in the future, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Did you know that? I don't know how many people from America will fit into that category. Probably not as many as we think. Because we live in this wonderful land of America, and in America we do what we want to do. You just look at the cars that we have, while the rest of the world, many of them only have a bicycle. But we may have two cars. We may have some other things that's sitting around that cost some thousands of dollars. You can just do it in America. We may not have as much interest in this glorious book as we think we do. He's in the process. It's possible that somebody in this auditorium may be appointed to be a king and a priest for Jesus Christ when he comes back to this earth. Don't look at me. I don't think I've been the best Christian. No, don't look at me. I live in America. America's got so many things to keep me attracted to, busy. What a wonderful... That's why God wants me to see his son. This is a book of the revelation of his son. After the church age ends, and it hasn't ended yet. For 2,000 years, this book has been to us. We will still want to know what's in our future after we leave here. And we're supposed to be preparing and thinking about the coming of the Lord Jesus. I'm sorry to say, some people say, oh, I don't think that's going to happen for another 500 years. Jesus will come. That's not the attitude Jesus wants us to have. He wants us to think he may come today. Because if you think he's not coming, you're going to open up the door for a whole lot of other stuff to get into your life. If you think Jesus could come during your lifetime, every person I know that turns older, and I'm turning older, we all have the expectation that Jesus may come before I die. Isn't that a wonderful truth? But he may come. He'll come. That's our blessed hope. So these verses are just excellent. Chapter 4, verse 1, come up. Many that believe in the rapture, our blessed hope, many see that chapter 4 and verse 1 is our leaving this earth and going to be with heaven. Chapters 4 and 5 you need to get acquainted with, because now we, the church, are in heaven at his home. We're where he is. We're where the greatest leadership, the greatest sovereign, the greatest God of all gods is doing his business with us, and we're in his presence. And so from chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, you'll find a number of things that we're going to be doing when we get to God's heaven. Did you know that? You knew that, didn't you? And you're curious to know what comes next if you should go to heaven today. So there are some wonderful things that are going on in these chapters 4, 5. Chapters 4 and 5 have some excellent things in them. But one thing that's going to happen when we get to heaven, we're going to discover... And I don't know how God's going to do this, but in chapter 5, he has, as he sits on his throne, he has a book that hasn't been opened, and it's all sealed up. And all of a sudden, there's no man to open that book. Out of all of the people that have ever lived, there is no one in God's presence who can open the book. This book is like this book of Revelation. You see, this book that we hold in our hand, this whole book, the Bible, is full of prophecy. We all know what's coming. If we're saved, we're going to heaven. We know that in the church there's wheat and tares. We know that in the church there are people who are not saved. But they're amongst us. And they think they're going to heaven. One of the most horrible things that could ever happen is a person think he's going to go to heaven, but he feels in his heart he doesn't have a connection. And I think of that man that died just a couple years ago. Cross around his neck. Been in church, connected with the church, but he said, "I'm so empty." He died. So, in heaven, no man. But you see, if you ever came to a place in your life where you don't know what's on tomorrow, you don't have any hope. You'd end up weeping too. In heaven, there's going to be weeping because nobody can open the book. Except we've got the answer. Jesus is going to come forth. He's the only one in all of history and all of time that can open that book. Jesus Christ. We've got something to talk about. And so the Lamb comes forth, the Lamb of God. So special is this, in verse 9, they sing a new song. A new song they're going to sing. "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation." Oh, and here's that verse again about kings and priests. "And hath made us," verse 5:10, "and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, that we should reign on this earth." There's more things that are going to happen that this earth has no clue to, that we ought to be excited about. We're going to come back. So the lawyer said, the Christian lawyer said, "When I'm going to put everything in my name on hold because I'm coming back in 7 years. And I'll want to see what happened to it." And you wouldn't recognize it in 7 years when somebody else gets a hold of it. But anyway, they sang a new song. I think the second verse, that might be the first verse. We're going to praise the Lamb. Praise the Lamb. Not me. Praise Jesus. The second verse might be verse 12. "Sing with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing." That's a good verse to memorize. There's seven great features about the Lamb of God. When you get to heaven, you're going to fully know all power is His, all riches is His, all wisdom is His, all strength is His, all honor is His, all glory is His, all blessing is His. And if you're saved, you'll be there. What an hour and a moment that will be. When we come to chapter 6 and verse 1, that book that has seven seals on, Jesus is going to open it. I'm going to suggest to you, I don't know if you've ever heard this, I'm not going to be dogmatic, but I'm going to give you my reason in a little bit why. Chapters 6 and 7 have to do with the seals. And it appears to me that in this first trip through the book of Revelation, that God wants us to know about His seals, that Jesus is the one who's going to open them. There's some things in here that should excite us. It should just set our hearts on fire. And then chapters 8 and 9 are the trumpets, and very possibly the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And so, if that should be, and if I quit early and do not finish, you can ask me, where do I think my proof is that this is true? But I hope I can remember to tell you. So in chapter 6, there's going to be, God is not focusing so much on some of the characters that we know will be in the tribulation period as he is that Jesus is the one who opens and allows these judgments to come to this earth, because God is interested in the same thing in the tribulation period as he is in this day and age. So when we find ourselves moving along through chapter 6, we get down to verse 9, and when he hath opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? Those that are martyred and are in heaven are going to attract our attention when we get there. Our hearts are going to go out to people who were killed for Jesus Christ. All over this world, for the last 2,000 years, there have been those who have been killed and slaughtered for the Lord Jesus Christ. And your heart will be touched by those people when you get to heaven. You're going to want to know some of these people. You're going to be blessed to think that they would go through such horrible stuff. But this group of people in heaven, they have a burden. They're asking God, how much longer is it going to be before thou dost judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? That's a righteous concern, that anybody who has their blood shed and they've been killed for Jesus, it wasn't right. And they want God to judge that person, those people. They want God to bring forth. Remember, I said to my neighbor this last week, I said, if God is a righteous God, and he is, he has to judge sin. He has to send people to hell. He has to. He has to deal with sin. He cannot sweep it under the carpet like most people want to do. He has to deal with it. And these people in heaven, they've been waiting and their prayers are not answered. We'll pick them up a little bit later. They're a very interesting group of people. In verse 12, the sixth seal will open for the first time in heaven, for the first time in a long time. Earth is going to get an idea more clear than an eclipse. An eclipse doesn't even compare, but it's often likened to this verse. And eclipse, have you ever seen the sun black? Do you think that'd get your attention? If the sun was totally black and the only thing you could see in the heavens was a red moon, that'll get people's attention. Yeah. So in these verses, there's just wonderful things that are going on. When we come to verse 7, 7 is a great chapter. You want to know what we're going to be doing during our stay in heaven with Jesus as he is exalted and we worship him and he's the Lamb of God. One of the things that we're going to be excited about in heaven is found in chapter 7. Chapter 7, all of a sudden, the whole judgment process has to stop because God is going to do something very special in verse 3. He's going to seal 144,000 people on earth and nobody can take their life from them. Because in the things that follow, there's going to be a lot of death. One third, one fourth. There's going to be a lot of death going on. this earth that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have a very strong call of God upon them to get saved. And so God's going to seal 144,000, and I'm going to be delighted to be there. And they run all the way down through here verse 8. And then another thing happens in heaven that's going to be thrilling. In verse 9, we're in the first half, we're reading about this in the first half of the tribulation. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues stood before the throne. Wouldn't you like to be there when this crowd of people that get saved come to God's heaven from all over this world? Some of you are praying for a lost loved one. Don't quit praying for them. You could get more serious about your prayer for a lost person, because you could wake up at night and pray about them. You could get more serious, and I could get more serious about praying for people if we got touched by God's Spirit. In this church right here, there are people that know people. You've got family members. I've got family members. And they're far from God. And so here's a multitude. Heaven is going to rejoice over this multitude. You know, I think maybe... I think maybe in the Left Behind series, and we're not going to be left behind. The Left Behind series has sold thousands, millions of books. And there's 13 of them in the series, Left Behind. I have to number them. This is number 4. I have to number them. So this is number 4. After the church leaves, the Left Behind crowd, then there's going to be a tribulation force, Dr. Tim LaHaye says, which is true. There's going to be people who are going to be so touched by our absence, they're going to believe we went. You can't have something that big touch this world and somebody not be stirred. They want to know Christ too. And then there's a third one. That's the second one. First one is Left Behind. The second one is Tribulation Force. That's the people who are going to go to work for Jesus and try to win some other people. The third one is Nikolai. He's the Antichrist. Number 4 is this book called Soul Harvest. We'll never get away from this subject right here. In heaven or earth, on earth or in heaven. When we get to heaven, we'll be more concerned about lost people than we ever were here on earth. That's why when the 144,000 are sealed, we're going to rejoice and sing in heaven. That's why when we're in heaven and a crowd comes forth, comes to heaven, and we want to know, where are these people all coming from? And so let me read it. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God. What's the second verse of the song we're going to sing in heaven? Power to the Lamb of God. Riches to the Lamb of God. The third one is wisdom. The fourth one is strength and honor and glory and blessing. Wouldn't you like to sing that song to Jesus? Yes. And so salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders, the four beasts fell upon the throne on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Now, this might be the third verse to that song. There's two I've given you two other verses. Where was the first one found? Forgot. You forgot. First one is found in 5:9. We sang a new song. The second verse was found in 5:12. The third, this is my idea. The third verse may be 7:12. We're going to change the order now. We're going to shake it up. We're going to go to the bottom. The first thing that we're going to say after we say amen is blessing. Am I ever blessed to be in God's heaven? Wally talks about dying all the time. Some of us talk about dying. I'll tell you, we have no idea how great, how great it's going to be to be in God's presence. So we're going to reverse the order. Instead of putting this one down towards the bottom, we're going to put it first. Blessing. Glory. The third one stays the same. Wisdom. And now we use the word thanksgiving. Are we ever going to be filled with thanksgiving? You know, you boys and girls come to church, junior church, they just love to get candy. We don't do that, do we, in this church? Yeah. We got some candy men in this church. We got them distributed just right so the kids can get to them. And I'll see Corwin. Corwin, I'll be watching you after church. You'll be running around to the candy man. And I'm waiting for that person to stick their hand in my pocket again. They don't think I tell them the truth. I got some old candy today. Candy cane. It's still wrapped. It's fresh. Where was I? So we're going to be singing. This could be our song, blessings. Oh, we may have to hold that. I got to move on. Glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, might unto our God forever and ever. We'll never get tired of singing to our Heavenly Father in heaven. Where do these people come from? They came out of verse 14. They came out of great tribulation. Strange thing is going on in America. Diversity. Diversity. They're putting us to sleep. Get used to respecting everybody, every religion, and at the same time, the one that's creeping into our midst is so intolerant. You can't even go to their country of Islam without them. They're threatened to cut your head off. They're intolerant. But they want us to be diversified and let them crawl in amongst us and accept them. West Michigan is becoming so good to diversity. That's what the paper said. And the paper is pushing it and leading us astray. How terrible. Just a couple more minutes here. Chapter 8, when we come to chapter 8, a most interesting chapter in chapter 8, I think we've come to the halfway point, the mid-trib point here, and when he had opened the seventh seal. The seven seals have now been opened. There was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God. To them was given seven trumpets. Now we're going to have seven trumpets. But hold it. We've got something that we didn't expect. In verse 3, you remember those people that were under the altar in heaven and they wanted to know how long, God, till you deal with people. People haven't been dealt with. And so we read in chapter 8, their prayers have come to that point when they're going to be poured out on the earth. After all they've waited for God to answer their prayer. If you've had a prayer and you know God's going to answer it, sometimes you can't hardly wait. And sometimes you're not sure if God's going to give you the right answer, and it puts an agony in your heart because you know it might be the right thing to do. Yeah. So anyway, these people are going to see that their prayers and the first trumpet are going to go together. Their prayers are going to be cast to the earth, and the first trumpet is going to sound, and what they have prayed for has finally come to pass. My, all of these are so important. All of these are so important. Nothing like it. And so some of those that are going to be saved may be coming out of the last half of the tribulation as well in chapter 7 when it talks about that great multitude. Chapter 9 is a very sad chapter. Chapter 9 is going to go to the last three trumpets. The last three trumpets are called woes. I can't imagine people being persecuted like they are. The first set here, the first woe, is they're not going to be able to die even though they want to. For 5 months, people are going to try to kill themselves and they can't do it. They can't die. God's not going to let them die. I don't know how He's going to do it. They can let their blood run, but they can't get it all out, so they'll die. They'll live on a thimble of blood, I guess. I don't know. But they cannot kill themselves. And the last one, and this is mind-boggling in verse 11. It tells us they have this evil angel over them. Even the devil and his crowd likes to persecute their own. And maybe by this time, because they don't know the word, they're going to think that this comes from Jesus. I don't know. But anyway, in the second woe is going to be so sad because it says in verse 20, they repent not. God wants to save people. In the tribulation period, He's going to save many, many, many people. It doesn't take much to get us thinking about eternity. All we have to do is break our legs, hit our head. We have to think we've got some incurable disease. There's no hope for us. And then we start to think about God. It's so bad. It's so sad that we wait till the extreme moment. But anyway, in chapter 9, there's no repentance. What a terrible thought. And the seventh trumpet comes in the 10th chapter, and it's a woe too, because there will never be another opportunity for these people to get saved. That's a woe. Now, the 10th chapter makes me think, possibly. In the 10th chapter, we've come to the end of the tribulation period, perhaps. You can go think about it. You can look at this verse. In the 10th chapter, John is seeing things that he's never seen before. This might be the sequel to the tribulation period, because we've got 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19, nine more chapters. But God didn't put those chapters in the first 10 chapters. They become much more specific. From chapter 11 on, every chapter you read has a new purpose, and it's all for 3.5 years, 1,260 days. It's just half. It's the last half of the tribulation period. The temple comes up. The Antichrist comes up, who's wounded, and comes back in chapter 13 and verse 3. And so we don't want to lose our focus early and get taken up with all kinds of details. We want to know our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. But then he's thinking he needs to write this stuff down. And let's see if I can break in here. Verse 6. And he sware by him that liveth forever and ever, and created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and all things which are therein, that there should be no more time, there should be time no longer. But in those days of the voice of the seventh angel, that's the seventh trumpet, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. It may be that saying that the tribulation period is at its end. We didn't get all the details, and he's not going to write them. God said, don't write them, because he's going to stop, and then later he's going to say, you know what? I need you to write some more. So when it talks about time is no more, when it talks about God, the mystery of God shall be finished. And he hath declared to his, as he declared to his servants the prophets. And then it says, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. I went unto the angel, said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, eat it, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. It could be that the things that he saw are the content of that little book. And so it says this, I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten, it was bitter. My belly was bitter. But now he says this. He says, thou must prophesy again. I thought it was all over, and I did too. But it could be the sequel. God has so much to tell us, but he only told us certain things in the first 10 chapters where we could keep our hearts and mind upon Jesus, the Lamb of God, he who was weak, a lamb. All power is given unto him. All riches is given unto him. All wisdom is given unto him. He's the Son of God. He lives forever and ever. Oh my, let's don't lose who we belong to. So he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Okay, John, you've got to write some more. Now, everything he writes from this point starts in the middle of the tribulation and goes the last 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years. It's a very special group of chapters. But we need to know that God loves people's souls. You need to pray for that person that's not saved. You need to pray for them. I need to pray for them. We need to pray for teenagers. We need to pray for our missionaries. We need to pray for people that we think will never get saved, just to keep our heart in tune with him who loves all people. Okay? Now, you've been very good, and I'm going to really close it off here. And I don't suppose any of you have any questions. And if you do, I probably couldn't answer them. So, oh, I got to show you one more book. Book number 10. You know, LaHaye's books, the topics are very interesting. This one's called The Remnant. Now, I have to tell you the truth. I haven't read any of these books because I don't like fiction. But their titles are very good. If this, The Remnant, if this is talking about the 144,000, my, they are a remnant. A lot of Israel is never going to get saved. Thank God there are those that are getting saved today. But I like that title, The Remnant. God's got to save, God has to save, preserve the Jew so he can save them. You see, we look forward to Jesus coming in the air. Those from the mid-trib on are going to be looking for the second coming of Christ. Are they going to be looking for it? You would be too if you had to go through the tribulation. All right. It's hard to unwind and stop. But it's time to stop. You've been so good, and like Luke says, give me a couple more minutes, and I took quite a few. Listen, we're going to stand. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. We really need moments to pray, but we're going to stand. I've kept you. You've been good. And somebody's going to have a question. Now, normally, when I speak, nobody says a word, only one or two. So I'm going to go out the side. I'm going to go out the side door and disappear. No, listen. This is God's word. We love it. All right. We have a service tonight. Come back tonight, and if you come back and keep coming back, our preacher will be coming back. We're looking forward to that. They are in a very big church this morning. A big, big church. They went on vacation and they're absorbing Christian colleges and big church, big Baptist churches that are doing a great work for God. When they go on a vacation, they don't skip out and set God aside. He's with them every day on their vacation. Isn't that good? Then they're going to come back. Take care of us. All right. Let's have a thank you closing prayer. Father in heaven, we love you. We love your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to love the coming of Christ for us. We are so blessed. And we want to thank and praise you today in Christ's name. Amen. All right.